Bibles to the book of Titus. When I went to bed last night, I had one message on my mind, and when I woke up, I had another message that I feel like the Lord would have us to preach today. And so I never had it happen just quite like that. So I feel like that the Lord would have us to preach on this subject this morning. The book of Titus, chapter number 1. I preached out of this several years ago. We had an ordination service and ordained Brother Jeff Wilson. I don't know how many years ago that was. I didn't look it up, but I preached out of this same chapter on the Sunday that we ordained Brother Jeff. But we're going to have an ordination service this afternoon, and some people may not even know what that is, especially our children. I think it's important to preach to them, to teach to them. And even new members since then, what is ordination? What are we talking about? Where does that come from? Well, I'm glad I can tell you this morning it comes from the Bible. And we're going to show you some things this morning about what the Bible says about ordaining elders. And that's what we're going to do later on this afternoon. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 1, the Bible says this: Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. And he goes on down and he gives the qualifications for a bishop or a pastor or a elder. Those terms in the Bible are all interchangeable. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come today and I want to thank you for your blessings. I want to thank you for letting us be here. And dear Lord, just the health and the strength that we had to get out of the bed today and come to church. Lord, we have several that are sick, that are not able to be here. Lord, we pray for each and every one of them. We pray for those that are in the hospital, those that are helping somebody that's sick. We just seems like we have a lot of that. Lord, we need your help. I'm thankful for the encouragement that we received in song already today, that, Lord, we can truly talk about living by faith and not being alarmed and meaning it. And so I'm thankful, Lord, that we can leave things in your hands. And God, you have these things in control. Lord, we thank you for that. Now I pray for the service today. I pray for the preaching. I pray for the service this afternoon that you would just be in everything that's said and done. Help me this morning. But most of all, I pray that the Spirit of God would speak to our hearts from your precious word. We'll thank you for all that you do. Have your way. We ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. All right, let's go back this morning and begin by reading there in verse number 5. The Bible says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou should set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." And that's where we're going to start today in verse number 5. If I was just to ask the question this morning, why are we here at Mount Lebanon Baptist Church? Meaning, what is our goal? What is our mission? What is our purpose, our reason for existing? Why are we here gathered together as a church body, and we come together and we have a pastor, we have deacons, we have members, we have an offering, we do all these things together as a church, but what is our primary purpose in doing all of these things? I think most people would say, well, right off the top of our heads, we are commanded in the Bible to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The primary purpose, we might say, of a church, any church, is to preach the gospel. Get the gospel out. Evangelize the world. The Lord Jesus told the early church in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And so we start in our Jerusalem. We start right here. This is our ministry. This is our outreach. And we go from here. And Brother Ballou, he has a book, Brother Stennett Ballou, and he talks in that book about the getting the gospel out, and he says we're to evangelize, and we're to evangelize the man across the street, and we're to evangelize the man across the state, and we're to evangelize the man across the world. And so we're to get the gospel out and go into all the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that would be 100% correct to say that. That's what we're to do, is to preach the gospel. But I want to show you something this morning that the Lord had shown me, and I want to show you today about what the Bible says about ordaining elders. How important it is that churches are also in the ministry of ordaining elders. Now, if we look at the books of 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, they're very similar. There's a lot of similarities between these books. In fact, you might say that, well, one is just a summary of the other. But although they are very much alike, you have to realize that Timothy was a young preacher. Titus was a young preacher. They both had different ministries. They were in different places. They were ministering, preaching, pastoring different people. They were both co-laborers with the Apostle Paul, but they were not told to do exactly the same thing. Now, if you just look back a page or two in your Bible, you'll see that when Paul was writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 5, you'll see that Paul gave Timothy some instruction about what he was to do in his ministry. He told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 5, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." Paul told Timothy to do the work of an evangelist. The word evangelist, it means evangel, it means to tell. It means to go forth with the gospel. That's what we mean when we say evangelize. We're proclaiming the gospel of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you look back over here in the book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 5, you'll see that Paul told Titus to ordain elders. He said, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldst set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." Now, we place a whole lot of emphasis on evangelism, and so we should. There's only one way to heaven, and it's by and through the new birth. Jesus said in John 3:3, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Very important that people hear the gospel and that they know about the Lord Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 said, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Now, do you notice how those two things are tied together? The gospel is very important. How are they going to hear? How are they going to call on him whom they are hearing about, or whom they have not heard, without a preacher? So they need to hear about the Lord Jesus. They need to call upon the Lord Jesus. But how are they going to hear without a preacher? You've got to have the ministry of the preaching of the Word of God. You have to have evangelism. You have to have soul winning. All of these things. Every Bible Christian knows that we are to work to see sinners birthed into the family of God. But I wonder how many of us realize how important it is for preachers to be in the ministry, for pastors, for missionaries, for evangelists. But that is evidently why Paul left Titus in Crete, was to ordain elders in every city. Now I want to say something this morning. Where do preachers come from? Well, God calls them for sure. But have you ever thought that God left the ministry? Let me put it like this. God's only commissioning agency for pastors is the church. Preachers don't come from colleges. In fact, a whole lot of preachers get ruined by going off to college. God didn't give it up. God did not leave it up to colleges to call to ordain elders. Now, you can send off in the mail and get some kind of certificate of ministry, but that's not of the Lord. I've had people tell me before, you know, I'm an ordained preacher. I sent off in the mail. I got a certificate in the mail. I don't know where that comes from. I don't know whose idea that is, but I'll tell you, you don't get that idea from the Bible. God didn't leave it up to the government to call preachers. We ought to say thank the Lord for that. The government couldn't solve a one-piece puzzle. Amen. God didn't leave it up to the government. God didn't leave it up to the colleges. God left that ministry up to the church. And what we are going to do this afternoon is not just a bunch of preachers getting together and going to ordain Brother Jason, but it's an action of the church. God left it up to the church. It cannot be done without the authorization of the church. We are actually going to come together and we're going to have a little business meeting for the purpose of doing this very thing that we read about in the Bible, ordaining elders. He said in verse 5, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldst set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed her." It is done at the pleasure of the church, at the vote of the church. We're actually going to get together and do this as a church body. We cannot do this without the church. It's very, very important that the church ordain elders. If churches are not producing preachers and pastors, then what's going to happen out here in the future? There'll be no more. Because there's no other authority in the earth to ordain elders apart from the Word of God, apart from the church. So I want you to see this morning that what we're talking about, ordaining somebody into the gospel ministry, I want you to see how important that is. I want to let you know today that we ought to be excited about it, and there's a great need. There's a great need in the world for preachers, pastors, being in the gospel ministry. Now, Sister Karen came up to me this morning, and she said they'd been trying to explain to Karis what it meant. You know, little children, they hear you talking about, well, we're going to have an ordination service. What does that mean? What does that mean to a child? How do you explain that to a child? And she said that they told her that Brother Jason was going to be like me. That's a pretty good explanation from the mind of a child. What's that mean? Well, you're going to ordain somebody. That means that Brother Jason will be ordained into the gospel ministry as a pastor of a church. Now, here's how it generally works. God calls somebody to preach. God calls a man to preach. He will announce that call to preach. He will exercise that call to preach. The church will observe as they exercise the gift, and that God has really called them into the gospel ministry, and then the Lord will call a man into a specific ministry, usually to pastor a church, but not always to pastor a church. We have several men that are ordained out of our church that do not pastor churches. Brother Bill has been ordained, Brother Bill Conrad, and he has been ordained in their ministry, what God called them to do. They're actually missionaries. And they go into the schools and they work with the young people. That is God's call on their life. We ordained Brother Bill to do that. Brother Kyle has been ordained. He is not does not pastor a church, but their ministry, God has called them, and they are actually missionaries on or to the college students of our nation. But it's when somebody announces a call, God has specifically called me to do this, not just preaching around here and there. All that is sort of God's college. That's time to get experience, to gain experience and fill in and do sort of like Brother Bradley's doing. All that is learning and experiencing. But one day there'll come a specific call. God has called me to do this. And that's when a church takes action and ordains. And that's what Paul was telling Titus here, that he had a responsibility to do. That's why he left him there. Now I want to show you some things this morning out of chapter number 1 about ordaining elders. That's what he said. And ordain elders in every city. First of all, what I want to show you, we'll go back to verse number 1, talking about ordaining elders. There is a platform for ordination. What I mean by that, a platform, a foundation. Verse number 1 says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. The platform of ordaining is the truth. I'm glad I can stand here today and tell you that there is such a thing as the truth. Truth is a wonderful thing. Truth is a beautiful thing. I love truth. God's people ought to be lovers of truth. Now, if you are not convinced that there's such a thing as truth, you won't love truth. If in your world and a whole lot of people in this world, they are conditioned to acknowledge that there is no absolute truth, that nothing is really right and nothing is really wrong. But if that is your mentality, you will not love truth. But I'm here to tell you today, there is such a thing as right, there is such a thing as wrong, there is black, there is white, there is male, there is female, there's a whole lot of applications we could make today. There is such a thing as truth. Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Have you ever wondered why God's people and governments so often are at odds with one another and butting heads so many times? One of the reasons is, as God's people, we realize there's such a thing as truth. And truth will not allow you to rejoice in a lie. President just come down with a directive to all the public schools in the nation to let Johnny and Susie just decide which bathroom they wanted to go into. Don't make the little boys go in the little boys' room, and don't make the girls go in the little girls' room if they don't want to. If the boys want to go in the girls and the girls want to, you know, just allow them to do that. That's a lie. That's a lie. I cannot rejoice in things like that. God's people rejoice in the truth. And Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse number 33 and verse number 36, or 32 and 36, if the Son therefore shall set you free, ye shall be free indeed. The truth will set you free. So we have a foundation of truth. Somebody asked me a while back, said, well, why is that? Why is that a big deal? Why even bother to talk about that? Because truth is concerned here. And if we don't have truth in this life, we don't have anything to go by. I mean, we might as well live like a bunch of animals and everybody just do any old thing under the sun they want to if we don't have truth. But I'm glad I can tell you today we do have truth. And our foundation of everything that we do is based on a platform of the truth of the Word of God. It is a solid foundation. It will stand when everything else falls. There's the truth of God's Word. And whatever God's Word speaks upon is the truth. The Bible is not a science book, but if it speaks upon a scientific subject, it's the truth. Job knew that the earth was a circle before Columbus ever sailed the seas. What it says in the Bible. It is He, talking about God, that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. In fact, I have read that Columbus was inspired from the Holy Scriptures to know that he would not fall off the end of the earth. See, they used to believe the earth was flat. I mean, they taught it in the schools and all the professors in the colleges and the doctors and even a lot of the religious people, they taught the earth was flat. And Columbus, if you sail out there, you're going to fall off and big dragons are going to eat you. And boy, they had all kinds of things they believed. Just because most everybody believes it doesn't mean it's the truth. But if God's Word is spoken upon it, it's the truth. And you can take it to the bank and you can believe it and you can teach it to your children and you don't have to blush and you don't have to be embarrassed about it. And you know why men can give their lives and women for the gospel ministry is because it's based upon the truth. The truth is a good thing. It's a solid platform. There's the platform, first of all. Second of all, this morning, there's the promise. Look at verse number 2. The Bible said this, in hope of eternal life, and I preached on this, I believe it was last Wednesday night or sometime, but I was dealing with the subject of hope. That's not a, I hope I go to heaven when I die. That is I know. It's that kind of a hope. It's a hope that looks forward to because you have certain knowledge of. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Paul told Titus, ordain elders in every city. Let them read the letter that I'm writing unto you. Let them know when they start out that what they're dealing in is not question marks, but exclamation points. That what we're dealing with is not something that is made up in fairy tales or fables, but God that cannot lie promised before the world began. He's talking about the hope of eternal life there. I'm glad what we have today is the hope of eternal life, meaning that when we die, if you're saved by the grace of God, you'll go to heaven. We have the hope of eternal life today, which was promised before the world began. Now, there's a lot of promises out here going on in the world. It's election season. Have you heard all those promises being made? I'm sure you've heard. But do you believe all them promises that's being made? If you believe all them promises that's being made, I've got something I'd like to sell you after service. Oh, we hear that stuff all the time, but do you really believe all that? Not really. You might have a little hope that that's the way that it could be or would be if this one was elected or that was elected, but experience tells us that you know, there's a lot of lying going on. When it comes to the Word of God and what God's people are preaching and telling and talking about promises, it's based on the promises of God. We sang that song, Standing on the Promises. God promised and He cannot lie. We have the hope of eternal life. Boy, that ought to bless your heart today. What we are preaching about, what we are talking about, what we are giving our lives to is not just something that is right here, right now. But it's going to benefit you in the life to come. When you take your last breath in this life. Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, if we have hope in Jesus Christ in this world only, we are of all men most miserable. And what he was talking about there, he was making a comparison if there was no resurrection of the dead. If there is no resurrection, If the dead will not rise again, if we don't have any hope beyond this world, we are of all people most miserable. If the dead rise not, but the dead do rise. The Lord Jesus Christ got up out of the grave. There is a life beyond this life. That's what we're talking about. Our ministry is not just a here and now. It is a beyond here and now. What are you going to do when you die? What are you going to do when you come down to the end? If you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you have Him, you have the promise of eternal life. And maybe I just think about this now that I'm older. It seems like when I was younger, I didn't think about this very much. I didn't entertain thoughts very much about getting sick, dying. But I see it all the time. Have you ever got up? Have you ever been getting dressed and you know you're taking care of yourself and all of a sudden, what's that? What's that? I've not noticed that before. Is that a lump? Do I have cancer now? Am I going to die? Am I going to get sick? You ever think about that? You probably don't if you're 15 years old. But you get a little bit older. You see your parents. You see, like we saw Kim's mother the other morning. Broke my heart. Broke my heart. And we see it all the time. There's so many people that are sick. If that's all that there is to this life, that we are going to get older, we're going to get sick, we're going to get to a state where we can't live and we can't die and we're miserable. And is that all? Is that all there is to life? Well, let's just all get together and have a sad time. But I'm telling you this morning, I've seen it many, many times. There's things worse than dying. If you're a child of God and you go to be with the Lord, you wouldn't want to come back. I'm glad we got some promises. I'm glad that's not the... There's a lot of promises in God's Word. But I'm glad as a pastor, as a preacher, as an ordained elder, that God has called us into the ministry of telling others that there is hope beyond this life. It is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Now that's comforting. That's comforting. That's something to look forward to. I was talking with Brother Dwight last week, or actually week before. And he was in the hospital over there, had a little time, just him and I sitting there together. You know what he was talking about? He's talking about, I'm ready to see the Lord. I'm going to see the Lord. Isn't that a blessing? I know I'm going to see the Lord soon. You can't buy that. That's a precious promise in the Word of God. We have a solid platform. We have promises to tell the world. In verse number 3, talking about ordaining elders, there's preaching to be done. He said in verse 3, but hath in due times manifested His Word through preaching, which is committed unto me, according to the commandment of God, our Savior. You may not think much about it, or you might. But the privilege of hearing the preaching of the Word of God is a great blessing. Because the Bible tells us that God has manifested His Word through preaching. You know, when I got saved, somebody was preaching the gospel. I mean, I'd heard it many, many times before, and I'd sat there, and I knew about Jesus. I knew that He had died upon the cross. But there was a certain day when I went to church, and God manifested His Word through the preaching of God's Word, and the gospel arrow stuck in my heart, convicted me of my sins. The Lord Jesus Christ was more real on that day than it had ever been in any time in my life before, and I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart, and He saved me by His marvelous grace. What happened? He manifested His Word through the preaching of the Word of God. You know, a lot of people in the world have never heard any preaching. Most people in the world, they have no use for preaching whatsoever. Politicians can go throughout the land and people throw money at them to come and tell them lies. preachers are preaching the truth and they have to go throughout the land and go to churches and raise support to go and to tell the truth. Amen. Something's wrong with that. The world looks at preaching and it has no use for it. But the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 18 that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Them that perish that are lost, to them that's foolishness. But unto us which are saved, that's the power of God. That's how I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, a powerful gospel witness in my life. If you look back in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse number 2, I can show you exactly where we are in the world today. Here's where we are. 2 Timothy chapter 4, that's probably just one page back. In verse number 2, Paul told Timothy, he said, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Timothy, be ready to preach the word. Look what he said in verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's where we are in America. No, we don't want to hear the truth no more. We'd rather hear a lie. We don't want anybody to raise their voice anymore. Nobody raises their voice for anything, but I'll tell you, it'd be hard to preach any other way. I've had people tell me, no, I don't want to come to your church. It's too loud. I don't want to be loud just for being loud's sake. Some of you young people may not realize it, but half the people in here are like me. They're half deaf. And I think it's a shame. And Brother Dwight has really let me know this through the years. He'll say, I appreciate you. I can hear you. You want to go to church and hear somebody mumble along? You didn't hear half of what they said? I've got to be loud enough so Preacher Melvin can hear what I'm preaching. It's very important that people hear the preaching of the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. If it's worth saying, it's worth hearing. You need to hear. You need to hear over the babies squalling. You need to hear if you can't half hear. That's about where I'm at. I hear about half. Or what I do hear doesn't register till a few seconds later. Jesus raised his voice. That's what the Bible said. He lifted up his voice. But in our society, nobody lifts their voice unless it's in the sports world. And that's fine for people to squall and holler and yell and get all excited, but let's not have that in church. Who says? Well, to get excited, it's the truth. We're talking about eternal life. We're talking about things that will help you when you're down in the emergency room or you're down in the hospice room and, you don't all of a sudden you don't care about the race no more. Because this is real life going on. What are you going to cling to? What are you going to hold to? The Lord. When storm clouds come and erase the brightness of day, who are you going to hold to? Is Donald Trump going to help you then? Is Oprah going to do anything for you then? It's what you've got out of this blessed old book, that you heard somebody stand up and proclaim that wasn't ashamed of it and that believed it with all their heart and wanted you to believe it with all of your heart because it's the truth. Precious promises. I'd rather have a good preacher than a good lawyer or a good doctor or a good congressman or a good president all wrapped up together. I'll take a good man of God and I won't know what the preacher has to say. Way back in Isaiah's day, they said this to him. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 10, they said, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. It's where we are. But I like the preaching of God's word. It's helped me when nothing else could. I found answers through the preaching of God's word that I couldn't find anywhere else. It's a good thing to have ordained elders that'll preach God's word. There's preaching, there's purpose. In verse number 5, look what the Bible said. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Look what he said in verse 5. For this cause, Titus, this is why I left you here. You are to ordain elders in every city. That is your purpose. Now, I will be the first to admit, I have not won the multitudes. I do believe this from God's word. I believe that God has Timothys that are more equipped to do the work of an evangelist. And I believe God has his Tituses that he's put to ordain elders. You have a sowing and you have a reaping ministry. You have a drawing ministry and you have an equipping ministry. And they work together. You had Paul and you had Barnabas and you had Peter, James, and John. And you have all these different. And you had Timothy in the Bible and you have Titus in the Bible. Ordaining elders is very, very important. I think about all the men I was thinking about last night. I was trying to remember in my mind those that I've had a part in their ministry and men on the mission field. Preacher Mark Hodges is on the mission field in Oklahoma. Had a little part in that. Preacher Greg Thompson, pastor and doing a good work right down here at Midway Baptist Church. And I mentioned Preacher Kyle, Preacher Bill, Preacher Jeff Wilson. We're going to ordain Brother Jason and all the men that's come through the Bible Institute over the years. If you could see what I see at the end of 3 years, and every last school night that we have, if somebody is graduating, we give them a little time to come up and stand where the teachers have stood all that time. Just tell a little bit. Give a little testimony. We had our last class a few weeks ago. And you go to school and you fellowship together and you teach the Word of God, and then to see young preachers come up and say, well, what a blessing you men have been to me. And I thank you for teaching us the Word of God, the Bible. Our textbook's the Bible. Every church ought to be a little Bible institute where you learn the Word of God and you are equipped and you know what it is to put on the whole armor of God and you can tell somebody else about Jesus. Every church ought to be doing that. Then we go and we tell and we reproduce and we get the gospel out. What a blessing. What a blessing. There's a purpose in all of this. I don't know. I think a lot of people, they just go to church and go home and that's just what they do. And they don't think a whole lot about it. But there is a purpose in everything we're doing. To equip, to get the gospel out, to carry on. You know, I didn't realize this. The other day, Sister Jan was talking. We was talking about the 125-year anniversary of the church. We was talking about all the pastors the church has had down through the years. And she said, you know, you're the only living pastor. Who's going to carry on when we're gone if we don't ordain elders? There's a purpose in all of this. I look on down. There's a pattern in this. He said in verse number 5, look what he said. Set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. There's a pattern. Titus, go here and ordain elders, and then go to the next city and do the same thing, and go to the next church and go to the next church and do the same thing. There's a pattern in the Word of God. The word ordain, it means this: to place down permanently, to designate, to appoint. There is a built-in dictionary in your King James Bible. If you don't know what the word ordain means, it said ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Titus, what I did in your ministry, you go do in somebody else's. When I appointed thee, when I ordained thee, that's what it means. I'll show you in the Bible what we're going to do this afternoon quickly. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 2. Look what Paul told Timothy. He said, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." He said, what you heard of me, you commit the same thing to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, the world has this thing, it's called network marketing. You ever heard of that? I'm going to give it to you. You go and get three other people, and you get them to go and get three other people, and you get them to go and get three other people. And before you know it, you'll have 144,000 people in your network. I mean, that sounds good. I'll tell you who come up with that first. The Lord. He said, Timothy, you find faithful men. The same thing I taught you, you teach them. And you get them to go and teach others also. That's in the Word of God. It's a pretty good way to get the truth out. The same commit thou to faithful men. I'm thankful for faithful men. Let me say, not anybody will do. He didn't say just go out here and get somebody that doesn't have anything to do. Most of the time in church or even at work, if you really want something done, get the person that's already the busiest. Don't get the one that's standing around at the water cooler that never has anything to do. You get somebody that's faithful. God's people deserve faithful shepherds, faithful pastors. Pastors cannot expect their people to be faithful if they're not faithful. What if you come to church on Wednesday night and I wasn't here? Where's the preacher? One of his youngins had a ball game. I'll tell you what, if I'm going to ask you to come out on Wednesday night, I'm going to be faithful. All of our lives, I'm talking about my personal life, it revolves around first God's people, God's work. That's first. We're going to be faithful to that. Everything else can happen or not. But he said, find faithful men and teach faithful men and commit that to faithful men. Look over at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. What the Bible said over there. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. He said, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery." This afternoon we're going to have a laying on of hands. Other ordained men are going to come and going to help the church do this. And we're going to lay hands physically, not in a rough way, but in prayer on Brother Jason. We're going to pray over him. We're talking about a pattern in the Bible. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. Paul said this, "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word." Somebody's going to come. And they're going to preach a charge to Brother Jason. We're going to do this as we find this pattern in the Bible. It's the same pattern you find in Acts chapter 13. Let me quickly point out a couple other things. There are prerequisites to this. In Titus chapter 1, verse 6, he said, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of right or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. You don't want somebody in it just for the money's sake. These men have to fill these prerequisites. They need to be qualified according to the Word of God. You just don't find that everywhere. They got to line up with the Bible. And then one last thing, there's the professors in verse number 9. He said, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, to subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. And he goes on down and he talks about those who are in opposition to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, Titus, you're going to have to combat that. Do you know everything going on in the world is not true? Everybody with a message is not telling the truth. There are many that would lead away God's people from the truth. And he said, Titus, you're going to have to combat that. You're going to be up against that. I'll tell you, there's a lot of things in this day and time that God's people are just up against. And if somebody doesn't come along and say, now that's not right, you're going down the wrong path, then all God's sheep be scattered all over the place. A call to preach is a call to battle things. It's not going to be a life of flowery ease and just no opposition. There's going to be a lot of opposition along the way. And so Paul told Titus, he said, here's your job. I'm leaving you in Crete. Now I've been to Crete. Kim and I didn't have a honeymoon when we got married. I was in the Air Force and we had to get married on a very slim time frame and budget and everything. Don't get me off on that. See, Abigail's getting married. Man. If you plan a wedding in 2 weeks, you can get by pretty decent. I mean, if you get married at Christmas, just use the poinsettias that were already there in the church. Saves a whole lot of time trouble. I mean, what a blessing. But when we finally got to go somewhere, and I was in England, we took a military hop to Greece. We spent a week in Crete. Let me just say this. It's not as much of a paradise as you might think it is. It's about a rock sticking up out of the water. Rough place. If you study about it, rough bunch. Rough place to have a ministry. And God told Titus to go there. I'm leaving you in Crete. They need preachers down there. It's your job. Go around these churches. Find faithful men. Ordain them into the gospel ministry. It's going to be a rough job, Titus, but that's your responsibility. It's the church's responsibility. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. I appreciate your good attention.